A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. The word of the Lord. Well, good morning. I am pleased and humbled to be here. As I said a little earlier, it's hard to comment on these powerful words of Scripture. This one from Isaiah and the scripture from Matthew. Probably even a little more challenging, as I am a Roman Catholic sister who doesn't usually get to do this very often, given my church. But I am glad to be here and to speak a few words about our call to justice, especially for children. Because as our Christian faith teaches us that we are created, all of us are created in the image of God. And our country espouses the ideals that all people are equal in terms of their dignity, their rights, their privacy, their religion, and their access to economic opportunity. And if I may comment on the leader of my church, Pope Francis, who in a recent letter entitled On Care for Our Common Home said that we need to strengthen the conviction that we are one single human family. There are no frontiers or barriers, political or social, behind which we can hide. Still less is there room for the globalization of indifference. He goes on to say, the gift of the earth with its fruits belongs to everyone. Unfortunately, the fruits of the earth are not available to all. Here in the United States, income inequality is often more pronounced for people of color. Our white families hold 7 times more the wealth than people of color. So what does this mean for children? There are 14 million poor children in America, here in the U.S. And of those, 6 million are extremely poor. We are still the world's largest economy. A child in the U.S. has 1 in 5 chance of being poor. And the younger she is, the poorer she is likely to be. A child of color, who will be in the majority of the U.S. children in 2020, is more than twice as likely to be poor as a white child. All of these numbers tell a story of persistent economic inequality brought about by discrimination, a lack of access to good jobs with fair wages, quality housing in good neighborhoods, and most importantly, a lack of access to good education. as I read those words from Isaiah, they were similar. We hear them because we hear them in the gospel of Jesus, to give food to the hungry and clothe the naked. But in Isaiah's reading, he also said to take away the yoke of oppression with the pointing of a finger and evil talk. Another translation says malicious talk. And right now I think there is so much of that going on in the world today. Pointing fingers, evil talk, racism, discrimination. There is an abundance of research on economic inequality and its effects on the quality of life and social relations. Many studies have shown significant relationships between economic inequality and crime rates, community involvement or lack thereof, political participation and polarization, health, even trust and happiness. Political unrest and terrorism may also be closely related to extreme economic inequality. So we can't solve the problems of poverty and its impact on society or address who has and who has not unless we understand the complex and chronic connection between poverty and race. Once acknowledged and understood, we must then be willing to address race-based barriers to jobs, financial support for post-secondary training and college, fair and adequate housing and neighborhoods, and who can come to our country, and who will be permitted to live here. Pope Francis reminds us that each person matters. He says, "We were conceived in the heart of God, and for this reason, each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary." If I truly believe that God is present and connected to me personally, if I truly believe it, then I am able to hear the good news of Jesus. The good news that love conquers death, that hope never dies. How do we share this gift of the good news? Often this gift is found most persuasively in the ordinary course of our daily lives. Every day we have the opportunity to rise above the evil that is in life. Rise above the disappointment, the hardship, the apparent defeat, the dark days, to be swallowed up in God's mercy. When we help others overcome darkness, confusion, and pain in the frailty of the everyday human situations that we encounter, God is present. Every moment is an invitation to encounter the living God. How do I encounter someone of a different race or socioeconomic group? What is my attitude? What are my first thoughts? Do I blame the poor for being poor? What are my feelings and perspectives on the issues of immigration? What do I say to my children, friends, and neighbors that either passes on or disputes racial stereotypes? Am I a part of the solution or part of the problem? Every and each human has a right to the bounty of the earth. Whether believers or not, we are agreed today that the earth is essentially a shared inheritance whose fruits are meant to benefit everyone. For believers, this becomes a question of fidelity to the Creator, since God created the world for everyone. A true ecological approach always becomes a social approach. It must integrate questions of justice in debates on the environment so as to hear both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. And places around the world are not safe, are not filled with bounty. Our Syrian neighbors are looking for a place of safety and refuge. Pittsburgh welcomed children from Haiti several years ago after the earthquake. Holy Family was fortunate to be able to step up and to provide a safe place for those children. Most recently, we stood up to provide a place for children coming from Central America. The neighbors, my local neighbors, were pretty upset. We were letting in gang members, 4-year-olds, 8-year-olds, children whose feet were filled with sores and blisters from walking, crossing deserts, being in rivers. Holy Family will stand ready again to welcome refugees whenever we're called upon to do that. It's been part of our heritage to be a place of refuge and a home for children, to recognize that every child is precious in the eyes of God and every child matters. As we celebrate Children's Sabbath, we recognize that even here in this country, so many of our own children in this city are in need. We open a new high school at Holy Family, Holy Family Academy, for children with economic need. It's a new ministry. It's probably the riskiest thing I've ever done, other than agree to do a sermon when I don't have much experience and opening a Catholic high school when all the other ones around us are closing. But we have uniforms. We're a traditional Catholic high school in that way, but not in too many other ways. Our children, our youth, are all have economic need. Struggling middle class who could never afford a private 21st century rigorous education focused on college and careers. We opened last year with our first freshman class, and after 2 months, one of the young girls who was wearing her sweater with our logo on it, August and September, pretty warm, but she always wore this sweater. After a couple of months, she went to our office manager and she said, "Mrs. Swedish, could you help me?" And she said, "Sure, honey, what can I do for you?" She said, "I have a problem with my blouse." She thought, "Oh, it was probably ripped." She said, "Go into the bathroom, take off your blouse, and I'll..." She went into the bathroom, took off her blouse, put her sweater back on, and she brought her blouse out, and it was just filthy. She had no way to wash her blouse. And so Mrs. Swedish said to her, "Honey, what would you have normally done at your old school?" She said, "Oh, well, I would just throw it away and go to Goodwill and get something else to wear. But this is my uniform. I have to wear it to work. You see, every student in our school works one day a week at a local company who pays the fee to the school, and that pays their tuition." Here in Pittsburgh, so we had to buy a washer and a dryer and have life skills class after school so no one would be embarrassed, and invite the students to bring their laundry to school. So this is Pittsburgh. This year, I was fortunate to enjoy two of our young men who are working at Eaton one day a week. One is African American and one is Caucasian. They typically, last year, sat on different sides of the dining hall. But all of a sudden, these two are hanging around together, joking with one another. One of the moms is picking them both up and taking them home. They found something in common. They go to work together. We need to break down the racial barriers that we have, the opportunity to offer a good education to youth who need it. We can do something. We can all do something. So I encourage you to think of one thing you might do this week that might help a young person in poverty. Because Marian Wright Edelman is calling us today. She is saying, so ours is the task, now is the time, to write the vision and make it plain. Every child matters, and no child deserves to live in poverty. Amen. Thank you.
We come before the Lord with our shared prayers. And routinely we offer those concerns and then say the Lord's Prayer at the end. But if you'll notice in your bulletin, we're going to intersperse the phrases of the Lord's Prayer with the prayer of intercession, that we might never pray through rote or through repetition, but listen and once more truly offer to the Lord the prayers on our hearts. And so there are phrases we will say together, after which I will add on some additional words, which will always conclude with the phrase, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So please join me in this time of prayer using the Lord's Prayer to guide us. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Merciful God, who was and who is to come. Blessed be your name, for we boldly bring before you the concerns of our hearts, of our community of faith, of our world. Lord, in your mercy this day, hear our prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be real for all who hunger and thirst, for bodily needs, for justice and righteousness. Let it come for the millions of your children who migrate across deserts and barren hills, rivers and seas, and crawl through walls and fences of separation, hoping only to reach a place where they might earn a living wage to feed and educate themselves and those they've left behind. Lord, in your mercy this day, hear our prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, be near to all who hunger after daily bread, wherever they may be. Remind us in our places of abundance and waste. Far too many of your children go hungry each day. As we sit at tables, be with those who huddle in refugee camps, who live afraid in this country, fearing police raids and deportation, who earn their crusts of bread by picking the food for our tables, tending to our needs while their own go unmet, with no protection for health, for safety, or Social Security laws. Lord, in your mercy this day, hear our prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God of justice and peace, let us not fall into the temptation of believing the slogans of globalization or blindly trust that rising tides lift all boats, as millions of your children drown all over the world in raging seas of both literal water and of more intangible greed, arrogance, indifference. Let us not slip down the treacherous slope of xenophobic fear, wishing to accuse innocent believers of other faiths of the sins of a radicalized few, denouncing in the process our national ideals of liberty and hospitality through virulent anti-immigrant rhetoric and misdirected government overreach. And this day, Lord, be especially with all followers of Islam here and around the world. Lord, in your mercy this day, hear our prayer. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Remind us once more of the wisdom of the prophet Isaiah, who has told us that now is the acceptable time to act as people of faith, to offer food to the hungry and to satisfy the needs of the afflicted, that your light shall rise in the darkness and your healing shall spread across the nations. And when we act, we will hear your response to our cries from help, as you say to us and all people, "Here I am." Lord, in your mercy this day, hear our prayer. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.